Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. I'm a big fan of NPR Weekend Edition's Sunday Puzzle. If you are too, the name and voice of Will Shortz is probably familiar. Now, you may also know that Shortz is the puzzle editor at the New York Times, a job that involves working with our next guest, a cruciverbalist who also happens to be a master magician, illusionist, and the creator slash performer of a live theater show that combines all the above. That immersive show is called The Enigmatist. It's opening this weekend at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, and the person behind it is David Kwong. David, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
So we're going to get into The Enigmatist in a few moments here. But before that, I'd like to hear about the first few terms I used, David, to describe you. That's cruciverbalist, or crossword puzzle constructor, and master magician. So in sort of a chicken-egg sort of thing, what is it that came first? Was it magic or crosswords?
Well, first of all, I have to applaud your pronunciation of these very difficult and made-up words. So bravo.
Thank you.
So, cruciverbalist, by the way, I love etymology here. Cruciverbalist is a crossword constructor, like crucifix is cross, verbal meaning word. Really, I took these two passionate hobbies, and I combined them together into one cerebral nerdy magic show. So I was a childhood magician. I started when I was 7 years old. In my teenage years, I started getting into wordplay and puzzles. And in my young adult life, I cross-pollinated them into what we have today, the Enigmatist.
Mm-hmm. So your first introduction then to seeing magic, just to kind of put ourselves into your mind and your memories, when did you first see magic before you did it? And the same thing with crosswords. Like, do you have a clear recollection of when you began doing them?
Absolutely. So I saw my first magician performing at a pumpkin patch around Halloween. I'm from Rochester, New York, and that magician, he didn't just fool me, but he fooled my father, who is a biochemist. And when this magician fooled the smartest man in the world, I thought to myself, I have to learn these skills. I have to be able to pull that off. Which, by the way, just a couple of years ago, I released a magic trick book for kids called How to Fool Your Parents. So I am a firm believer that the magician is the smartest person in the room.
Okay. And then crosswords. I mean, were there certain magazines or even maybe the New York Times? Did you see, you know, your parents doing that?
That's exactly what happened. My mother is a history professor, and she's the word nerd. We played a lot of Scrabble together. She got me into the crossword. She took me to hear Will Shortz speak at a library when I was 16 years old, and I fell in love with it. So, yes, he's our fearless leader. We love Will. He's the most supportive, generous, smartest guy around. So we love working with him.
It's always nice to get confirmation that the people we love and hear are, in fact, dope people.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. He's the best.
What is it that appealed to you so much about those things that you started, you know, making your own?
I think puzzles, especially a fun crossword puzzle that you might see on a Thursday or a Sunday when you have license to be extra tricky, really operates like a magic trick. And I enjoy having puzzles that have twists and turns and misdirection in them. And the solver is plodding along, trying to figure it out. And suddenly they crack it. They have that aha moment. And they feel smart. They feel accomplished that they solved it. And at the same time, they think, wow, that was a really clever trick. So there's a lot of shared DNA, which is why I've managed to put these two passions together.
Mm-hmm. And in your work for the New York Times, David, and with Will Shortz, I've noticed that you combine crosswording with other kinds of puzzles. So, you know, the cross-pollination that you talked about earlier. And I believe that you constructed one for Christmas that is an example of sort of combining different kinds of puzzles.
Well, this past this past December was a holiday themed Sunday puzzle. That's a great one. If you have the app, if you can go back, check it out. It's a really great and challenging Sunday puzzle. And it's as I just described, there is a trick that's going on that you have to figure out. And when you finally crack it, it all comes together, and that there's that wonderful aha moment. So I hope when people come see The Enigmatist, they're going to feel that as well, because I am giving puzzles to the audience to solve the entire time. I'm putting these easy puzzles up on the screen behind me. I have people standing up, raising their hand, figuring out those puzzles, unlocking the combination box that's on stage the entire time. And I want everybody to feel smart when they leave that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to return to The Enigmatist in just a couple moments, but I believe that, David, you have created custom puzzles for many appearances and interviews that you've done about your work and your skills, and we've got a very special treat of a puzzle that you've made for St. Louis. So lay it on us, David. What do you have for us today?
Wonderful. Okay, so this is a puzzle that I hope everyone listening can play along as well. And I themed it on the letters S, T, and L. So, Elaine, I'm going to give you a clue, and the answer will be a two-word phrase. The first word will start with S, T, and the second word will start with L. So if I were to say, borrowed funds used to pay college costs, you might say student loan, S, T, and L. Are you ready?
I hope so.
You're going to be great. You're going to
be
fine.
Okay, great.
Here's your first one. Exit direction for an actor in a theater, maybe.
Straight. Oh, my goodness.
That's okay. So you might.
Stage light?
Stage is correct. So you might not go on one side. You might not go on the right side.
But
here we go. Stage left. Great. You crushed that first one. Nicely done. Here we go. Number two. Pole top illumination for a roadway.
Street lamp.
Street lamp is correct. Very good. How about elongated chauffeured luxury vehicle?
Oh, something limousine. Stretch limousine.
That's right. Stretch limousine. Very nice. How about folding climbing aid?
Oh, step ladder.
It is a step ladder. How about co-creator of the Marvel Comics universe?
Oh, Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. You got a couple more in you? How about this? Rapid flashing illumination used at dance venues.
Oh, it's a strobe light.
It is a strobe light. All right, I got one more for you. How about this? It's actually a three-word phrase. The middle word is a small incidental one. A gift from France in 1886.
Statue of Liberty.
Correct. Hey, you crushed those puzzles.
Oh,
nicely
thank you.
Done.
And you know, full disclosure, I did have some support from my team in the back. So thank you.
I
very
love it.
Much.
They're holding up signs for you. There's like 20 people solving this level.
Yes, indeed. Look, it takes a team.
Hey, that's awesome. I'm so glad.
David, thank you so much for that. Let's get to the show that you're bringing to the St. Louis Rep, and that's starting this weekend, The Enigmatist. And it's been described as a brain scrambler, a mystifier, a misdirector, and a workout. Mental gymnastics is what I see. And you talked earlier about some of the ways that you do that. Is there another example that you can provide, without giving too much away, that gives us some insight into how you execute on stage?
Absolutely. I think we're in this golden age of puzzles and games, and people love escape rooms, right? So the puzzles start right away. When you get to the theater, you are going to encounter puzzles right there in the lobby. And I have to point out, I'll say this a million times, these puzzles are not too hard. They are just meant to stretch your brain and get those brain juices flowing. So you arrive at the theater, you solve four puzzles. It's all about this story, this narrative of this fantastical place outside of Chicago called Riverbank. And that is the place where the story is told. Once you're in the theater, I'm telling you this fantastical tale, and every In between all these little stories, I'm performing illusions. I'm giving you puzzles to solve on stage. It all comes together at the end, and I do not want to say too much about that.
So, David, you had said just a moment ago that we are in a golden age of puzzles. Why do you think that's the case?
Wordle has exploded. Connections, New York Times games. There's board game nights everywhere. I've already been invited to a board game night in St. Louis. I'm very excited about it.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So I don't know. I think that there's a great time right now of togetherness. I think puzzles connect people. I'm doing this New York Times Spelling Bee every single day with my mother. We've been doing it for probably 6 or 7 years. I call her up on the phone and we solve it. We always get genius. If you're familiar with that game, everyone listening knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way to stay in touch every day and connect and have this wonderful, mutual activity. So I just think it's just so wonderful where we are right now with puzzles and games.
This highly interactive quality of the Enigmatist, why is that important to your vision for the show?
Someone said something to me after a show once that I remember all the time. And what they said, it was so kind. They said, David, you don't perform magic to people, you perform magic with people. And it's that spirit that I really like to bring to the show. It's a family show. My favorite thing is for that final puzzle, for that box with the combination on it, my favorite thing is when a 12-year-old kid stands up before all the adults and comes on stage and unlocks that box. So it's a communal spirit. It's everybody participating in this game together. And as I said before, going home feeling smart.
Mm-hmm. Puzzles, I think, are often conceived of as a solo activity. What makes puzzles so good for connecting, with someone?
They can be. They're wonderful solo activities. They can be. But there's a whole style of puzzling, like escape rooms, like puzzle hunts, where you're sitting down at a table with 10 puzzles that all connect together, and you have to divide up the puzzles, and you're not going to do it in under an hour unless there's teamwork. So it's a different style, and I think it brings out the best in people. When there's something they don't know, they pass it to somebody else and it plays to other people's strengths. And it's a great way to connect.
We're talking today with David Kwong. He's the creator and performer of The Enigmatist. He's also a master magician, illusionist, and New York Times crossword puzzle constructor. So David, was there a model for The Enigmatist, or did this kind of just spring from your imagination?
It's so many different things that have come together. First of all, I don't pretend to have any superpowers at all, so I'm a little bit irreverent about magic. And much like the great Penn and Teller or Ricky Jay, the sleight of hand artist, I don't pretend to have any mystical powers. And my take on magic is that I think they are all puzzles. So that's right at the top of the show. I say every trick here is a puzzle. See if you can figure it out. So that's a big part of the DNA of the show. I knew that I wanted to create an immersive show. We've been in a wonderful period of immersive theater for the last decade or so. And as I said, you get to the theater and right away you are plunged into this world and you have to solve puzzles right there in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And then I found a great story, this story about America's first code breakers, William and Elizabeth Friedman. They fall in love at this fantastical bucolic estate called Riverbank that's just outside of Chicago. And they are tasked with cracking a code that is hidden in Shakespeare. And as they go on this wild goose chase, they fall in love. So it's really this really charming, nerdy love story that is interwoven throughout this show. So that's the night, that's the evening, that's the afternoon. I hope people will come dive into this world with me.
Mm-hmm. And this is a world that you have been presenting for some time now. I believe The Enigmatist premiered in 2019.
That's right, mm-hmm. in New York. Uh-huh.
And you've taken it to many cities around the U.S. and internationally, too. Have you noticed that there are, you know, certain differences or similarities in how people respond to the show in these different locales?
I've been surprised at how universal it is. I was a little worried going over to London that British people would be a little bit more skeptical about what this, American magician with bravado on stage might be trying to pull over them. But it was very well received. I was so pleased that the nerdy, cerebral Londoners came out for that show. I did it in Chicago a couple years ago, which was a great run. I did it at the Kennedy Center a number of years ago. Every city, the brainy, smart people that love storytelling, they come out for the show. And I can't wait to see who's going to turn up from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully, do you have groupies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My wife calls them the Scrabble groupies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great. There are subcultures for all of this stuff. So the word is out to the escape room community. I heard from some fellow magicians that they're going to come. The Scrabble clubs hear about it. Fans of Will Shortz and his NPR puzzle will come out for it. So I'm always so flattered when somebody comes in. I think I have some people that I met at the National Puzzlers League that are coming in from the Pacific Northwest or Vancouver. I can't quite remember where it is. But they're coming all the way to St. Louis to see it. So I can't wait.
That's great. Has there been anything, you know, for you, David, that has been magical or mysterious about the way that you yourself have experienced performing the Enigmatist? You know, I know that wonder, the nature of that, the role of that, is something that you have been talking about for quite some time. How has it been for you? What have you learned?
I think we're always going to have wonder. And as our technology is racing at light speed and evolving, I think we're always going to welcome things that we can't explain. And what I've discovered over the last number of years is that people come to this show and they welcome the opportunity to turn off their phones for a couple of hours. And they use their brains to figure out the puzzle and how it all comes together. And it's refreshing. It's refreshing for me and it's refreshing for them. And we're all enjoying this experience together. So I think that's been the most enlightening thing over the course of this run.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Sunday, March 22nd performance includes a post-show talk back. What can people expect then, David?
I welcome all questions. As I said, I don't pretend to have any superpowers. So I acknowledge right up front that it's all tricks. Now, I won't tell you exactly how things are done, but I like to pull back the curtain a little bit. So people often ask me a little bit about how things come together, and I'm happy to give them a little bit of a thread to pull, see if they can figure it out. I can also promise a couple of fun puzzles like the one I just gave you, because mm-hmm. I know you had such a blast, right, Elaine?
I did. It was fantastic and extremely nerve-wracking, but armchair puzzle solving is much easier than doing it on a live mic.
Live. But yeah.
David Kwong is the creator and performer of The Enigmatist. He's also a master magician, illusionist, and New York Times crossword puzzle constructor. David, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Happy solving.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Happy creating.
Thank you.
David Kwong's show, The Enigmatist, runs from March 7th through April 5th at the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts. More information can be found at the REP's website. That's repstl.org.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw. Production assistance from Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.